And greetings once again. Welcome. Bienvenidos. Hola. Aloha. Weinihau. Namaste. Konnichiwa. Half a day. Guten Tag. Bonjour. Salam. Shalom. Peace. Now, go vegan. Peace now. Go vegan. From the left coast of the genetically mutated McNugget Pharmaceutical Vivisection Prison Industrial Corporation in the bribocratic corruptocracy of the United States of Listeria, this is Go Vegan with Bob Linden, the planet's first vegan radio show, because I, and only I was the vegan able to infiltrate the radio industry, the hallowed halls of the corporate meaty, I learned their language. Cume, average quarter hour, Arbitron. No one suspected me as I rose through the ranks from lowly time peddler to disc jockey to production director to program director. No one could know that deep down inside, all I really aspired to was...
Oh, new one. I know. You're going to be the hottest controversial vegan talk show host on the face of the planet.
And it is with great joy that now I can say that for the next hour, your radio, your computer, your iPod are veganized for your protection. And you would probably expect such protection to also extend to coverage, making this a Mel Gibson-free zone, huh? And that's what it is here. You know, although actually I apologize because just by mentioning that this was a Mel Gibson-free zone, it kind of isn't now, I guess because I mentioned him, which I didn't mean to do. But if ever there were the moral of the story that you shouldn't drink and drive, well, that's our lesson here, huh? Mel, repent. Give up the juice. Get a juicer. It's much, much better for you. Okay, Mel Gibson-free zone, right? Mel Gibson-free zone. You know, but it just shows that no matter how handsome you are, and you know, Mel does take a good mugshot, doesn't he? A note to Nick Nolte's, people. Get Mel Gibson's makeup artist, really, for the mugshot. Really good. But, you know, no matter how handsome you are, how much money you have, how famous you are, you can never really get over being named Melvin. I think that's the problem here. Melvin. What parent does that to a child these days? You know, that's like feeding your kids meat and dairy. Who does that? Really, really, really. Mel Gibson. I'm sorry, Mel Gibson Free Zone. Mel Gibson Free Zone starting in 3, 2, 1. Okay? So, because, you know, while you were busy following that, you know, that guy we're not mentioning now, maybe you didn't notice, you know, some of the important stuff going on in the news. In particular, you know, like a vegan diet reverses type 2 diabetes. Would that be more important than drunken celebrities, huh? Well, you've been distracted by, you know who. Perhaps you didn't see the national headlines. Vegan diet reverses diabetes. The study conducted by Dr. Neil Barnard compared two groups over 22 weeks, one a group on a low-fat vegan diet, the other on the standard American Diabetes Association diet. And this study was dependent on diet alone, nothing to do with exercise being a factor in it. And those on the vegan diet were able to reduce their medication twice as often. They lost twice as much weight. They lowered bad cholesterol twice as much. They improved their HGB A1C levels three times as much. That might be important to those who know what that means, and reduce kidney protein loss by 1.5 times over those on the American Diabetes Association diet, which, of course, included meat and dairy. And also the vegan diet proved easier to follow. So, you know, that's some of the important stuff that was going on when you weren't paying attention. By the way, stock in Moonshadows has really dropped considerably since Mel Gibson announced he's going into rehab. You know, so when that place goes bankrupt, maybe a nice vegan restaurant at that spot, huh? Oops, oh no, did I mention him again? Hey, I sure wish our celebrity fixation at the moment would be on, you know, really more appropriate celebrity. Maybe like Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. And I am so glad a friend of mine treated me to a ticket to their show this past week at the Hollywood Bowl. It was magic. I think it may have been the most incredible concert of my life. I mean, it was just a flawless musical performance and songs I've known practically all my life with new arrangements that made them as fresh as if I were hearing them the first time. And I don't know, I've just been a fan of CSNY forever, you know, as solo artists, duets, together, all together, you know, four of the most talented people in music ever. You know, the incomparable vocal harmonies in the pretty songs. But can they rock like no one else? You know, they sure have it. They have it. And, you know, in the pretty songs. Oh, I couldn't believe Neil Young did one of my favorite songs ever. Never expected it in the concert. Didn't expect him to go to the After the Gold Rush album. But he did. And not to show my sentimentality, but I think I'll play it. You know, one of my personal favorite songs ever by Neil Young. I'll play it at the end of today's program. Also, we'll hear some music from his new CD, and maybe Crosby, Stills, and Nash too. Or in fact, I'm pretty sure we'll get to hear CSNY. Because that concert, their music, took me back to a really special place. When I first became a peace activist, the Iraq of at the time was Vietnam, and I got up and walked out of my class at Stuyvesant High School in New York City, and I marched as a student at Queens College of the City University of New York, and we shut down the Long Island Expressway in protest, and the protest was we had questions, too, in our minds. For what noble cause was I to be killed? For what noble cause was I to kill somebody across the planet against whom I had no gripes? Huh? Richard Nixon couldn't supply the answers at the time, just as George W. Bush can't do it today. And the music at that time was Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young, as the music now is Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young, who are unashamed peace activists. There were peace signs everywhere as part of the concert. And, you know, they were right then, and they're right now in their opposition to the madness of war. And I didn't realize back in the Vietnam days that there was opposition by members of the military. And over at the concert the other night, I picked up some material. For example, there's this movie. It says, if you ever wanted to end a war, the movie is Sir, No Sir, the suppressed story of the GI movement to end the war in Vietnam. And the New York Daily News said, this is powerful stuff, offering us not only a new look at the past, but unavoidably relevant insights into the present. It's a film by David Zeiger, DVD available at sirnosir.com. And I didn't even know that there was a GI movement against the war in the Vietnam era. A critic said, a film that threatens the war movement with every showing. The Bush administration should outlaw it from all theaters within 50 miles of an armed forces recruiting station. This is the story of one of the most vibrant and widespread upheavals of the 1960s, one that had a profound impact on American society, yet has been virtually obliterated from the collective memory of that time. Perfectly timed with new doubt about the Iraq War, Variety says. And you can support Vets for Peace if you mention CSNY when you buy a copy of Sir, No Sir. Veterans for Peace gets $3 for each purchase. So again, the website that you go to is sirnosir.com, sirnosir.com. You know, back then when I was considering what noble cause it was for which I was to be killed or to kill, now we have someone who, again, is putting that question forth, Cindy Sheehan. I saw her sister there at the CSNY concert with Gold Star Families for Peace. And you can join Cindy Sheehan and Gold Star Families for Peace at Camp Casey, Crawford, Texas. George W. Bush has never answered their question, so they're going back from August 12th through September 2nd in Crawford, Texas. And for information on this, if you want to head out there or send a donation to help out, the website is gsfp.org, as in Gold Star Families for Peace, gsfp.org. If you can't go there, you can send a donation to Gold Star Families for Peace, 2010 Linden Avenue, Venice, California, 90291. Linden and Venice. Oh, we have peace activities going on August 20th at our Veggie Queue, because this is the radio program that wishes to attain peace through vegetarianism, which is going to be the only way. Not so outlandish when you consider meat and dairy squandering all resources and making us so belligerent. And gosh, we're consuming all of that terror, right? So wonderful to see Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. You know, they were also involved as anti-nuke activists. I don't know if you remember a long time back, maybe before you were born, but there was the No Nukes album and, a translation for the youth of today. Prior to iPods and CDs, dinosaurs used to listen to music on record albums or records. They were large black vinyl discs which played music on a record player. A needle and a stylus scratched through a groove in the large disc, just so you know what we're talking about here. The No Nukes album was phenomenal, and wonderful to see that artists do stand up for the cause. And speaking of nuclear, today is just an auspicious date in history. On this date in 1945, the United States dropped a nuclear bomb on Hiroshima. I guess the band likes to call itself. There's a band called Hiroshima in the smooth jazz world. Today marks the anniversary of that tragic occasion, and so it is only appropriate that we talk to Dr. Helen Caldicott today. We will talk to her from Australia. And she basically is the single most articulate and passionate advocate of citizen action to remedy the nuclear environmental crisis that we face, nuclear energy, weapons, nuclear war. And unfortunately, nuclear is being touted as the new, with global warming, it's having a renaissance. It's being touted as the new clean energy, which is bizarre as it gets, huh? This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden, and I appreciate you listening. I couldn't help but think, as the 18,000 people left the Hollywood Bowl after CSNY, how many would later have the blood of an innocent murder victim, a victim of another war, the war on animals, whose blood would run down their chin, wiped away by a napkin, as that person talked about the wonderful peace message at the CSNY concert, not realizing that living vegan is the lifestyle of peace, and we can diminish the violence in our lives immediately without the need for a ceasefire. We don't have to call on somebody else to have a ceasefire. We can have our own ceasefire by getting the violence off of our plates, and you can do it. You can go vegan. You can also make sure that there's a vegan message of peace on the air, on the radio. Free speech is expensive, and I ask that you support this radio show with a donation. They are tax deductible, as Go Vegan Radio is a project of 501c3 International Humanity Center. So your donations are tax deductible to the extent allowable by law. And you can make a donation online at goveganradio.com. You can also mail your donation payable to Go Vegan Radio to P.O. Box 40246, San Diego, California, 92164. Do it for the animals, and do it for peace.
Find the cost of freedom buried in the ground. Mother Earth will swallow you. Lay your body down. Find the cost of freedom.
I'm always talking about how delicious Vegenaise is. No vegan kitchen should be without it. It dresses up even the simplest foods, like my favorite sandwich, avocado, tomato, and Vegenaise. Or is it mashed up chickpeas, celery, onions, and Vegenaise? Or a tofu burger with Vegenaise? Well, I do know I love it on baked or steamed yams. Well, you think you'd read about Vegenaise in a cookbook, it winning the American Tasting Institute Award? So I was surprised to see Vegenaise in a book about stroke prevention. Yet there it is, page 194, in Stroke Free for Life by David Wiebers, MD, Chair, Cerebrovascular Diseases, and Director, Stroke Research Center, Mayo Clinic. And who would know better about a Mayo alternative? Try Vegenaise, now in organic. Available at Follow Your Heart, Canoga Park, California, and natural food stores everywhere.
And don't give your family the bird. Give your family chicken-free chicken. Delicious from Follow Your Heart. Also from Follow Your Heart, vegan gourmet cheese alternatives. I made an eggplant parmesan this week with vegan gourmet cheese alternatives. They melt. Now, a little cooking tip for you if you want to melt your vegan gourmet cheese. A little soy milk in a pan and put the vegan gourmet cheese in that, and it really melts nicely, and then you can pour it over whatever, like I did eggplant this week, or you can melt it in the oven at 500 degrees, but it's really delicious. So you can have your nachos and enchiladas and pizza and eggplant parmesan.
Meat cuts life short. I don't want my life cut short or the animals.
Let's not cut the animals and save the turkeys, huh? Introducing Tofurky Franks and Tofurky Chipotle Franks, which will be featured at our Veggie Queue. We'll be talking about the big Veggie Queue happening August 20th in Venice. I expect you to be there and trying our wonderful food, including Tofurky Franks and Tofurky Chipotle Franks, made with a blend of organic tofu with a meaty texture and rich flavor. Tofurky Franks and Tofurky Chipotle Franks are perfect on the grill and on the bun. And by the way, the grills that we will be using on the 20th, no animal products have ever touched them. Perfectly safe. You know, other veggie dogs have a beefy flavor. Well, Tofurky Franks have a great meaty wiener taste on top of a turkey-like flavor base. Tofurky Chipotle Franks with smoky chipotle peppers won the 2006 Veggie Award from Veg News for the best new vegetarian product at Expo West. New Tofurky Franks, Tofurky Chipotle Franks, and look for new Tofurky breakfast links from Turtle Island Foods, now 100% powered by wind energy. And you should know that the 3 years in the making, organic tofu and expeller-pressed non-hexane extracted soy protein isolates and concentrates are being used by Tofurky. Better for the environment, a little more expensive, but Tofurky has your health and the environment in mind.
Elephants don't belong in zoos. Please let them go to a sanctuary.
Yes, and we will be talking about that a little later in the show, too, what's been going on with the death of Gita at the Los Angeles Zoo. Well, is your omega-3 a little fishy? Well, too bad if it is, because then you're actually depleting the oceans of marine life, and fish oils often contain mercury and heavy metals and PCBs and other toxins that accumulate in marine environments. But now you can benefit from the original vegan omega-3 DHA supplement, Omega-Zen 3. From Nutru, Omega Zen 3. Now, this is a wonderful company. We had Jim Donovan on the show a few weeks back, and it's archived at goveganradio.com. A company that really cares about the ethical treatment of animals, sustainability, vegan lifestyle, and really wants to save the fish also. And you know, we are depleting the ocean, so
And you know, DHA is a long-chain omega-3 fatty acid considered a critical nutrient, one of the main components of the brain required for functioning of all neural systems, including vision. And in studies, low levels of DHA have been found in persons with heart disease and high blood pressure and cancer, Alzheimer's, depression, ADD, insomnia, stress, hyperactivity, dyslexia. And those conditions seem to subside with DHA supplementation. So get it the vegan way, Omega Zen 3 from Nutru, available at all Southern California Whole Foods locations. The website is nutru.com. It's a wonderful formulation, totally vegan, and without all those environmental toxins. So I think you'll really be happy with it. It's Omega Zen 3 from Nutru.
This is Go Vegan with Bob Lemon.
Whoa. Wow, that young man has grown up already. Yeah. Oh, Leo, you're making your first announcing debut on the show. Yeah, Leo, across the glass.
Thank you.
The man who presses the buttons and keeps things together here. Well, I complicate things. So anyway, we're waiting on our connection to Australia to Dr. Helen Caldicott, who is a wonderful speaker on nuclear issues. And in the meantime, perhaps I should tell you about our Veggie Q coming up. I mean, it would just be so cool seeing you at the summer's hottest music, food, fun event, the Venice Sizzlin' Summer Veggie Q. It's Sunday, August 20th, 1:30 to 6:30 p.m. at the Venice United Methodist Church, the Venice Peace and Justice Center, 1020 Victoria Avenue, Lincoln Boulevard, just north of Venice Boulevard. That's the north side of the street there. All the grilling with none of the killing. 100% vegan menu, sizzling off grills, as I said, that have never touched meat. Tofurky Franks and Tofurky Chipotle Franks. Then we have Sunshine Burgers there too, the original and the Southwestern and the barbecue. You're going to love them. Sunshine Burger, a sponsor of this show. We thank Sunshine Burger for supporting us. You know, we can't be on the air without the sponsors too. So if you want to support the show, one way to do it is go to your natural food store, to the frozen food section, pick up some Sunshine Burgers. So it's not a painful way to support the show. They're so delicious. I'm hearing from people who are trying them. They're hearing about it from the show, and they're loving them, and they're really healthy too. So we have the Franks and the burgers on vegan hot dog rolls and hamburger buns from Rudy's Organic Bakery, wonderful bakery, potato salad and chicken nuggets from Truly Vegan Restaurant in Hollywood, raw organic salad, raw organic dressing, and Whole Soy is providing their wonderful smoothies, so they're organic smoothies, and thanks to Wild Oats Santa Monica for its generosity, the two locations there, the two Wild Oats locations. So come on out, enjoy the food. Don't worry, you'll work it off when you see the music we have planned for you. Prepare to be amazed. I was, and I'm a jaded radio program director who has listened to a lot of music over the years, and I haven't been this excited about music in a long time. Well, actually, I guess with the Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young concert, I got excited about music again. But prior to that, I learned of the Son Jarocho music one evening when I was participating in the vigil to save the South Central Farm. There was a lot of great music out there, a lot of artists and musicians supporting that cause, which unfortunately went down to defeat. The evil Snidely Whiplash developer Ralph Horowitz came in and bulldozed the message, starve poor families, we need a warehouse here. But anyway, I was introduced to the San Jarocho music, which has its roots in slavery music out of Veracruz, Mexico. And all I can say is you will be amazed. You'll be dancing. You'll be singing. This is a rare musical experience. And when you see the group Son del Centro, you will know exactly what I mean. So this is just that. I mean, just that is worth the price of admission, much less the price of admission, including food, which it does. And also we've added music, a live performance from a rising star singer songwriter named Root, who will be performing songs at the Veggie Q August 20th in Venice. You want to hear what she sounds like? Go to whoisroot.com. Who is Root? And Root is spelled R-U-U-T. As I said, you know, the music is worth the price of admission, and you know, food is included. But don't miss Son del Centro. They're out of Santa Ana, and we do have a wonderful guest speaker at the Venice Sizzlin' Summer Veggie Q Sunday, August 20th. It's Lori Bouston, who is co-founder of Farm Sanctuary, now the founder of the new L.A. area sanctuary out Highway 14 in Acton, Animal Acres. Yes, Lori Bouston is our special guest speaker at the Veggie Q. And also, you can say hello to champion vegan bodybuilder Kenneth G. Williams. A couple of interesting video screenings for you, too. We'll have an excerpt from a great documentary called Eating. In fact, that documentary by Michael Anderson. He will be a guest on next week's show, on next week's Go Vegan with Bob Linden, if you send in your donation and we can pay the radio stations. A lot of people don't realize we have to pay for the airtime. That's why we have these benefits, and we ask you to send money, help us out. We'll have a full screening of Behind the Mask, the story of the people who risk everything to save animals, with filmmaker Shannon Keith. You know, that'll be happening at the Veggie Q. I'm hosting it, so I look forward to seeing you there at the Venice United Methodist Church, Venice Peace and Justice Center, Sunday, August 20th, 1:30 to 6:30. And, you know, make it a late lunch, early dinner. You know, you have plenty of time to go do the Venice Boardwalk, the 3rd Street Promenade, before or after. But be with us 1:30 to 6:30. We'll have a silent auction. Oh, some great artwork. Check out the website, nancylove.com, some of her artwork to be auctioned. That's nancealove.com. You know, other great things happening. It's a benefit in support of having a voice of compassion in the media, representing animals, children, and the environment. Go Vegan Radio. Suggested donation at the door will be $20. It's $15 for kids under 12, food included, as I said. And you can take advantage of our early bird special, $15 for everyone if you pay by August 14th at PayPal. Use this address at PayPal, meatfreeamerica@yahoo.com, M-E-A-T, free America, at yahoo.com. And that's, again, $15, food included, if you pay by August 14th. $20 after that at the door on August 20th. As I said, food is included. And there'll be updates at the website, goveganradio.com. So I expect to be you there, be there, be square. And it's going to be a blast in Venice on August 20th. So we will see you there. Now, Helen Caldicott, not here yet, okay? So let me see here. A couple of things that I wanted to get to Yes? She's here? Leo? Are they online? Yes. Okay. All righty. Not so easy to make a call to Australia. A lot more numbers. You know, we got to dial a lot more numbers to get the call to Australia. So let me see here. Okay. So, indeed, on Go Vegan with Bob Linden, we are honored to welcome, she's been called the single most articulate and passionate advocate of citizen action to remedy the nuclear and environmental crises that we face. She's actually a former instructor of pediatrics at Harvard University. 1971, Dr. Caldicott played a major role in Australia in opposition to French atmospheric nuclear testing in the Pacific. In 1975, she worked with the Australian trade unions to educate them on the medical dangers of the nuclear fuel cycle. And while living in the U.S. from 1977 to 86, she co-founded the Physicians for Social Responsibility. Almost 25,000 doctors committed to educating their colleagues about the dangers of nuclear power, nuclear weapons, nuclear war. And she also helped start similar groups in other countries. And actually, the umbrella organization, International Physicians for the Prevention of Nuclear War, won the Nobel Peace Prize in 1985. Among the books she has authored, she has authored Nuclear Madness in 1979, Missile Envy, 1984, If You Love This Planet, A Plan to Heal the Earth, 1992, A Desperate Passion, an autobiography, 1996, The New Nuclear Danger, George Bush's Military-Industrial Complex, 2001. She was on the show shortly after the release of that book, and now, just released in Australia and New Zealand, and to be released in the fall in the U.S., Canada, and the U.K., Nuclear Power is Not the Answer, and she is also the founder of the Nuclear Policy Research Institute, nuclearpolicy.org. Welcome back to Go Vegan with Bob Linden, Dr. Helen Caldicott. It's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Now, lately, from this insane administration, the reaction to global warming and air pollution and carbon emissions, seems that the nuclear is having a renaissance, and oddly enough, it seems to be touted now as the new clean, green energy, safe, no emissions. Was I missing something in all my years of opposition to nuclear? Did something happen recently, or what's going on?
Yeah, what happened is the nuclear industry's lying.
is that new and different?
I mean, they've always lied right from their inception. So let's knock those three myths on their heads. A, nuclear power and the whole nuclear fuel cycle from uranium mining to storing radioactive waste for 500,000 years produces a lot of global warming gas, carbon dioxide, CFC gases. At the moment, a nuclear reactor produces one-third the amount of CO2 as a similar fired size gas-fired plant, but as the quality of uranium ore declines rapidly over several decades, a nuclear power plant will produce not one net calorie of energy, because all the fossil fuel that's used to, you know, create the nuclear power station. And the problem is, as we run out of oil, which we are about to do, there's going to be no way to handle a nuclear fuel cycle, to keep the radioactive waste cool, which may itself melt down, to transport or store it, or, you know, it's a devastating proposition. So that's number one. Number two, it's exorbitantly expensive. It's not having a renaissance. Wall Street and Standard & Poor's are both extremely reluctant to get involved financially at all with nuclear power. The energy bill last year allocated $13 billion to subsidize only five reactors. They're terribly expensive to build, five to $6.5 billion per reactor, and that does not include decommissioning the reactor and handling the waste for 500,000 years, of course. So it's a socialized industry. It's a socialist industry in a capitalist laissez-faire society. And lastly, but not least, of course, nuclear power plants are all subject to terrorist attacks. The 9/11 terrorists did have the Indian Point reactors 35 miles from reactor from Manhattan on their plans. They went into the World Trade Tower instead. And then we've got the problem of radioactive waste. We've got the problem of that leaking all over the country at the moment. Plutonium, strontium 90, cesium 137, bioconcentrating in food chains. In my book, Nuclear Power is Not the Answer to Global Warming, I talk about Hershey's Chocolates, which is 13 miles from Three Mile Island, which had a major meltdown. There's been a very large cover up there. Don't eat Hershey's Chocolates because that's where the cows graze. And a whistleblower gave me a lot of material, which is now included in the book, which has never before seen the light of day. And I guess last but not least, no, there are two other things. 40% of the European land mass is still radioactive, and although you might buy organic food and, you know, dried apricots from Turkey, It may be organically grown with no pesticides, but it's probably radioactive because Turkey got a very high fallout. So be very, very careful. I don't eat European food at all. And last, for every dollar that's stolen by the nuclear industry to build new reactors, if indeed they ever do, is a steal from the prescription for survival, which is an array of renewable energy sources, solar, wind, geothermal, hydro, tidal, and above and beyond all conservation. The answers are all in. In fact, we're about to produce a roadmap for a totally carbon-free, global warming-free future without nuclear power. And it's the technology's here, and it's extraordinarily cheap compared to nuclear.
What are those alternative technologies?
Solar. Solar, until this point in time, has been quite expensive compared to coal. But a new development in South Africa with a very thin micro metallic film is now five times cheaper in collecting energy from the sun or electricity than the photovoltaic silicon cells currently used. So solar's right in there. Wind is extraordinarily cheap. In fact, farmers in the Midwest now find it's more efficacious to build wind farms than it is to grow food. So there are wind farms all over the Midwest. Cogeneration using waste heat from industry is an extraordinarily efficient way to generate electricity. America could save 28% of the electricity it currently uses just by turning off lights. I mean, it makes you laugh, doesn't it? So, you know, Americans have got to learn to turn lights off, to turn off, I think about 10% of the electricity currently used is used by VCRs, televisions, computers that are not turned off at night, sucking up electricity. All those blinking lights in your house, you have to turn everything off.
There you go. Turn everything off. Go vegan, because wow, was that does that impact our energy usage also? Nuclear power plants, what sort of medical dangers do they present?
Well, if you live near a nuclear power plant, it routinely emits radioactive materials, noble gases, xenon, krypton, argon, and the like into the air, and those gases can be absorbed through the lungs. They're very fat soluble, and they tend to concentrate in the abdominal fat pad and upper thighs, where they irradiate with high energy gamma radiation the gonads, testicles, and ovaries. Tritium is routinely released in quite large quantities. Tritium is radioactive hydrogen. It combines actually with the DNA molecule, and as such is very mutagenic and carcinogenic. So, tritium is a very reactive gas too. The only material that won't let tritium escape is gold. It gets out of stainless steel, out of glass, out of plastic, the lot. And when it gets out of a nuclear power plant, either as a gas or in the wastewater, it combines with an oxygen molecule producing H3O, which is tritiated water, which actually is absorbed straight through the skin. So if there's a foggy day and you live near a nuclear power plant and there's an inversion system, the tritiated water will be in the fog and it will be absorbed straight through your skin. Also, it's absorbed through the lung and through the gut. And it is a very dangerous substance, so much so that the nuclear industry, although they say, oh, it's nothing, it's only, you know, tritiated water, or radioactive hydrogen, they're so scared about it. There's a huge literature on tritium where they've used it in animal models to see what happens. It causes gross deformities of the fetus. It causes brain cancers, muscle cancers, and various other cancers. So it's a very nasty material, and also other materials are emitted routinely from nuclear power plants. And that's not talking about radioactive waste. That's just a routinely operating reactor.
So when I'm driving between San Diego and Los Angeles past San Onofre, should I close the windows?
Yes, and stop breathing.
Good advice. Huh? And nuclear waste is still an issue. I mean, as I recall, doesn't it take about 400 or 500,000 years for nuclear waste to...
Still an issue. It's always going to be an issue. And, you know, in medicine, the dictum says if you have an incurable disease, the only recourse is prevention. We have an incurable disease in the production of radioactive waste. No one knows what to do with it. We should stop making the stuff.
Yeah.
Let alone trying to work out what to do with, you know, the 50 or 60,000 tons of high-level radioactive waste that sits in cooling pools beside the nuclear power plants. You know, a nuclear power plant has about as much long-lived radiation as that released by the explosion of 1,000 Hiroshima-sized bombs. Mm. But the cooling pools next to the reactors, they can contain up to 30 times as much radiation as in the reactor core itself. So... And those pools can melt down, particularly if they were hit by, you know, a shoulder-held missile by a terrorist or the like and the like. I mean, you're in great danger in America living near those reactors, I have to tell you. And the industry is sort of painting them now with a nice smiley face, but they're terribly dangerous.
Yes, and I guess the waste has to be transported. There's been controversy over Yucca Mountain near Las Vegas as being a destination. And
well, what's happened is that Yucca Mountain, there's been a lot of fraudulent data about Yucca Mountain. It may never be licensed to be opened. And if it is, it will be probably at least 15 or 20 years before it ever is opened. So the Congress sneaked in a bill just very recently to say that states with nuclear power plants have to store their waste in the state at temporary facilities, which means probably in dry cask storage. So they put some spent fuel rods in casks, in concrete casks above the ground, which of course themselves are subject to attacks by terrorists and the like, and bushfires and whatever. But those temporary facilities will probably become permanent facilities, which means that states will, you know, you'll be driving past a park or a private block of land or near a reactor, and you'll see these casks sitting there, and there they are in perpetuity for the rest of time.
Right, and the waste outlives whatever the container is, right? I mean,
absolutely.
What container is going to last that long?
Even the best concrete, you know, cracks within a few years, let alone 100 years, and all steel rusts eventually. So, you know, those containers are made of steel and concrete, and we're talking about 500,000 years. I mean, the people who developed nuclear power were the bomb makers, and they only developed it because they felt so incredibly guilty about Hiroshima and Nagasaki. But they knew what nuclear power meant. It meant this horrendous waste containing, if I may say, huge amounts of plutonium, the most dangerous substance on Earth, such that, you know, a pound of plutonium adequately distributed hypothetically, or maybe 2 pounds, could give everyone on Earth lung cancer. Hypothetically, its half-life is 24,400 years. It causes bone cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, leukemia, testicular cancer. It crosses the placenta, where, like the drug thalidomide, it causes gross deformities of the fetus. And, you know, we used to have a bumper sticker in Australia which said plutonium is thalidomide forever because it lives on to get into fetus after fetus for the rest of time. And if you have plutonium in your body and you're cremated, the smoke goes out the chimney with the plutonium so someone else can inhale it and develop their cancer and die, you see, ad infinitum.
Unbelievable, yes.
Unbelievable. And each reactor makes 500 pounds of plutonium a year. And the reason it does is that's why uranium was first fissioned in nuclear reactors, was to make the plutonium, because you need 10 pounds to make yourself an atomic bomb. That's how they made the bombs. The bomb on Nagasaki was a plutonium bomb.
Yes, well, we're talking to Dr. Helen Caldicott, and actually on this day in 1945, August 6th, the U.S. Military used nuclear weapons for the first time, dropping a bomb called Little Boy on the city of Hiroshima. Then on August 9th, 1945, it detonated the Fat Man Bomb, as it was called, over Nagasaki. And then by December of 1945, the death toll from the two bombings was estimated at about 215,000 people, mostly civilians, and who knows who died after that from radiation exposure. And nuclear is part of our warfare arsenal now, isn't it, in the United
States? Well, it certainly is, but, you know, you've still got over 11,000 hydrogen bombs, of which about 7,500 are on hair trigger alert facing Russia. And America's still got a policy to fight and win a preemptive nuclear war against Russia. And Russia's got about 2,500 facing you on hair trigger alert. And their early warning system is rapidly dilapidating because they don't have the money to keep it up. And, you know, they could destroy you tonight by sheer accident, which nearly happened in 1995 when Boris Yeltsin, who is a hardened alcoholic, their system made an error, and he got to within 10 seconds of blowing you all up, 10 seconds.
So it's
that
not
was a
it's
major
not,
article in the New York Times, but you know it was buried near the back pages.
Yeah, so it's not good necessarily to have an alcoholic in charge of nuclear weapons,
or maybe an ex-alcoholic,
or an ex-alcoholic, or somebody who can't even pronounce what they are. I mean, that's what
exactly
scares me most. I mean, yep, that nobody
well,
will.
So he is the commander in chief, and if something occurs, he has 3 minutes to decide whether or not to blow up the planet. When,
and he's the decider. He said it. He is the decider, right? That's what he said.
He's the decider, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, on 9/11, you got to the second highest state of nuclear alert. You could easily have launched the weapons. And now we've got a horrendous situation in the Middle East. America has said she may go into Iran and indeed use a nuclear weapon there. And that would create an enormous sense of anxiety in the world, where accidents and mistakes and misjudgments could occur, and because the weapons are still there, thousands of them, on hair trigger alert, you know, there's a possibility, and it's not zero, that the Earth could be blown up in a nuclear war.
Well,
no one talks about that anymore. That's the elephant in the sitting room that is sitting there and is never being addressed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the unthinkable becomes thinkable with this administration here. It's beyond belief. Well, we're already using nuclear weapons in the sense of depleted uranium
in
warfare.
Yes, you are.
Yes, and that's horrible also, depleted uranium. It's
well,
how bad could it be?
I mean,
it's depleted, huh?
It's not depleted at all. It's depleted of uranium-235. It's uranium-238, which is the majority of the uranium in the uranium ore when it's mined. 235 is removed because that's what you put in a reactor. They're using it as anti-tank shells and bunker busters in Iraq as we speak. It was used in 1991 in the first Gulf War invasion near a town called Basra in the south of Iraq. And when these shells hit a tank, they burst into flame, producing aerosolized particles, which can be inhaled. And we've found, my colleagues, pediatricians, have found a 7 times or 700% increase in childhood cancer in Basra, and that's ongoing because the half-life of uranium-238 is 4.5 billion years.
Mm.
And there's a 700% increase in severe congenital anomalies, babies being born with single eyes, no limbs, you know, no brains. And those people now condemned to die from those diseases forevermore. So, yes, it is a radioactive nuclear war in Iraq, and they're still using the material as we speak throughout Iraq. So that's a war crime beyond comprehension.
Yeah, there's a war crime there. And we're trying to develop nukes in space, too. Is that correct? Or
Yes. Yeah. I'm writing a book at the moment with another fellow called War in Heaven, which will be out early next year, about the weaponization of space, which is also going ahead as we speak. So we're in serious trouble, and people say, oh, well, we mustn't get frightened and we mustn't feel uncomfortable. That's absolutely wrong. And I go back to the Holocaust during Hitler's time, you know. The Germans didn't feel uncomfortable as they watched the cattle trucks going off to the crematoriums. Well, it's inappropriate to feel comfortable today, and one must start examining one's conscience and deciding how to save the planet for our children and all our descendants. And if we don't do that, we're living a life of moral turpitude. And we can't look ourselves in the mirror in the morning if we don't really devote our lives now to saving this glorious planet of ours and all life species on it.
And
we can save it, but we have to get out of our zone of comfort and you know,
and
do the work we were born to do.
And do what?
Well, you have to first educate yourselves. I mean, as Jefferson said, an informed democracy will behave in a responsible fashion. Read my last two books. Read The New Nuclear Danger, George Bush's Military-Industrial Complex, and read Nuclear Power's Not the Answer to Global Warming, and then use your democracy. I shouldn't have to tell you how to use your democracy.
We forgot, you know? How. We forget.
People say they live in a free country, but you don't live in a free country unless you use it.
We forget. Our votes don't count.
Oh, rubbish. One person can change America. Look at Martin Luther King.
Yes.
I mean, you can be as powerful as the most powerful person who ever lived.
Well.
And just use your intuition. Use your... I mean, if your child is diagnosed with leukemia or you're diagnosed with cancer, don't tell me you won't use every single neuron in your brain to work out how your child will survive or you'll survive. Mm-hmm. Now, it's the same situation, only we're only talking about the only life in the universe.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you know, you meet wonderful people and you have such a sense of deep fulfillment and joy by doing this work, absolute joy. If you don't do the work, you'll get discouraged, dispirited, and depressed. If you do the work, you'll die with a clear conscience and with a great sense of joy and certainty that you've done the right thing.
Well, what a wonderful motivation you are, then, Dr. Helen Caldicott, which I appreciate you being on the show today. And
okay.
On this auspicious occasion, I appreciate your being here and invite
thank
people
you.
To visit nuclearpolicy.org. And thank you for being on Go Vegan with Bob Linden.
Thank you very much, and good luck to all of you. You've got a big responsibility over there.
Okay, we better get to work.
Yeah, get to work. Okay,
thank
bye-bye.
Thank you, Dr. Caldicott. Thanks so much. Dr. Helen Caldicott from Australia.
This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden.
Okay, we're hearing Neil Young on Go Vegan with Bob Linden from his new CD, Living with War. Let's impeach the president. What a good idea, huh? Okay, Dr. Helen Caldicott, what a speaker, huh? Okay, we continue now on Go Vegan with Bob Linden. You know, now you can run on solar power, too. Doesn't have to be nuclear. You can run on solar power with Sunshine Burger since 1983. Now it's your turn to discover the delicious simplicity of organic vegan ingredients with protein-packed Sunshine Burgers. Protein from the sunflower, energy from the sun. Sunshine Burger, simply delicious from simple ingredients like the original certified organic ground, raw sunflower seeds, Brown rice, carrots, herbs, and sea salt. That is it. Delicious. That's in the original. Or try the organic, zesty Southwestern Sunshine Burger with ground raw sunflower seeds and brown rice and carrots and black beans and bell peppers, cilantro, garlic, jalapeno, cumin, seeds, onion, and sea salt. All organic. Magnifico. Look for Sunshine Burgers in the frozen food section of your natural foods market, where you'll also find the barbecue Sunshine Burger with natural smoke flavor. No soy, no wheat, gluten-free Sunshine Burgers, protein from the sunflower. The sunflower kernel is also rich in fiber and potassium and iron and vitamin E. It's the gourmet burger since 1983. Oven-baked, pre-cooked, heat and serve, and you are solar-powered too. Visit sunshineburger.com. Better yet, visit the frozen food section and come on out to the Veggie Queue on August 20th. Details at goveganradio.com, and you will enjoy Sunshine Burgers off the grill right there.
Experiments on animals? What a waste of their lives and your money.
Yes, indeed. And we're also getting a contribution from Truly Vegan Restaurant, 5907 Hollywood Boulevard, at our August 20th Veggie Q. And Truly will be providing us with the wonderful potato salad and the chicken nuggets that they make. Of course, no chicken in the chicken nuggets. It says on the menu at Truly, we want to make a positive and healthful contribution to society by using products that are animal-free. We're making a statement to ourselves and others that we are conscientious eaters acting toward the greater good of all beings. Sounds good to me, and it will taste good to you at Truly, a vegan restaurant at 5907 Hollywood Boulevard. They cater and they deliver, so give a call, 323-466-7958, 323-466-7958.
That's today, then heart attack and cancer tomorrow.
Okay. Want to remind you that there's a book that's getting a lot of attention. It's called Animals and the Afterlife from Kim Sheridan, now available in bookstores throughout the U.S., the U.K., Canada, Australia, and South Africa. The Four-Word Magazine Book of the Year Award winner and Celebrity News Magazine said it's a must-read masterpiece. And you can check out the website. It's animalsandtheafterlife.com. Animalsandtheafterlife.com. Gretchen Weiler said, this uplifting book is a real page-turner. Kim's unique life experiences and compassion make this book a tremendously healing gift. So I think you might enjoy it too. If you've ever had questions like, do animals have souls? What happens when they die? Well, this book offers some interesting answers. Animals and the Afterlife from Kim Sheridan.
Vegans are number one at number two. Meat makes you constipated.
That's for sure. Hey, check out Dr. Gabriel Cousins. He was on last week's program. Want you to check him out. He's coming to L.A., Gabriel Cousins, the MD, diplomat of American Board of Holistic Medicine, diplomat and Ayurvedic founder and director of the Tree of Life Rejuvenation Center in Patagonia, Arizona. He's had wonderful results also with the vegan raw diet in reversing diabetes. He's a holistic medical doctor, psychiatrist, family therapist, homeopathic physician, best-selling author. His book, Spiritual Nutrition, Conscious Eating, Rainbow Green Life Food, Life Food Cuisine, Sevenfold Peace, Depression-Free for Life, among others. You can go to treeoflife.nu, as in nutrition, treeoflife.nu, one of the top medical authorities in the world on live food. He's involved with yoga and meditation, and he will be appearing, well, for example, in religious services for the Sabbath, the Jewish Sabbath, Friday, August 11th. So coming up on Friday, 7:30 p.m. at the Agape International Spiritual Center, 5700 Buckingham Parkway in Culver City. It's free. A donation is appreciated. Their phone number, 310-348-1260. Also next Saturday, August 12th, Spiritual Nutrition for Awakening to Liberation. It's a talk by Dr. Gabriel Cousins, Q&A and meditation, 1:30 in the afternoon to 4:30 in the afternoon, $25 at the Agape International Spiritual Center, 5700 Buckingham Parkway, Culver City. August 12th, Saturday, he'll go over to Irwan at 7660 Beverly Boulevard from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. For a lecture on nutrition and a book signing, and there'll be vegan food for that also. So definitely check out Dr. Gabriel Cousins. Oh, here's one of my favorite songs ever we're playing. Only Love Can Break Your Heart, that Neil Young played in the concert. Let me see. When Ooh, we're running out of time. Totally out of time. Go to IDAUSA.org for the latest on what's going on with Ruby. IDA suing because of the neglect of LA Zoo. We're out of time. Sorry. Thanks for listening. GoVeganRadio.com.